This is the second last week we're doing on this theme of thankfulness. These memory verses are still available, and our new verses are here up front for the season of Advent. The season of Advent is that season of the gift of Christ, the season of the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are four verses that by the end of December you'll have anchored in your spirit like you've been anchoring these for the rest of the year. I was thrilled when I hung Advent tags on this and I looked at this and I went, man, that is what God's Word has been speaking this year. And I hope that you've kept up with it. If you haven't, please grab the tags on thankfulness. The one for this week, Philippians 4:6, I'm telling you, it's a verse that you can anchor your life to. And I know, like, this was a big task, okay? It was a big ask. Let's memorize a verse of Scripture each week. And sometimes we get discouraged when we feel like, oh, I missed one. Oh, I didn't get that one. Don't get discouraged. Grab them. These verses will carry you for years to come. It's not a season you just throw them away. I did this year because I believe there was a call to us to rise to challenge. And this week we memorized Philippians 4:6. What does Philippians 4:6 say? Don't be anxious about anything. But in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. Okay, don't be anxious about anything. I tell you what, that is a verse that many of us need to anchor ourselves to right now. What a great thing to think about this week. Don't be anxious about anything. In prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Verse 7, Philippians 4:7, which is so important that follows it, is this, the promise attached to it. When you present your prayers and requests with thanksgiving and you lay down our anxious ways, it says, the peace of God that passes or transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's so, so important. Now, I'm just telling you, the Thanksgiving cards are still available. They are in the lobby on your way out if you didn't pick them up on your way in. Don't quit. And the Advent ones are starting here. How do I know that some people have quit picking them up? Because I almost let myself get really discouraged yesterday. In fact, Geddes sort of had to cheer me on. Because, you know, I went to the Thanksgiving boxes and usually we collect up the few remaining and put them in a box. More than half the cards on thankfulness are still there. That kind of bummed me out. But then I'm like, okay, but glass half full, Tim, half the cards are gone. But there's a heck of a lot more there. Don't quit. And you're going to hear me say, don't quit again by the end of this message. Don't quit. Because we need to be a people with a heart of expectation. Father, I pray this morning, captivate our hearts with that word, expectation. God, let it lead us, let it guard us, let it guide us according to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thankfulness. And there's this wonderful theme woven throughout the Scriptures in thankfulness and praise that is based in expectation. Thankfulness and praise that is birthed in expectation. Now, you'll know when I began this whole series, when I first came back, I was pretty excited, and I bought this theme that thankfulness begins with the who, not the what. All right? Thankfulness begins with the who, not the what. Some people say, I've got nothing to be thankful for. You know, life's miserable. Things always go bad. You know what? God has never changed. And if you missed that message, go back and listen to it. Thankfulness always begins with the who. It's followed a lot of times by what, but we are conditioned in our world that thanksgiving and thankfulness is birthed in the what, in the stuff. You think about it in life. Someone gives me something, I say thank you. Someone moves for me, makes a way for me, I say thank you. Someone acts towards me in some manner that I deem beneficial to me, I say thank you. And we teach our kids to what? Respond with thank you, to respond with thankfulness. And when we think about this, even in the context of God, it's easy to get this mindset that I respond to God in thankfulness. Because I've received something or seen something that I would deem beneficial to me or good towards me, therefore I say thank you. But what I want to talk about this morning is this thankful expression in expectation of that which I don't see yet. A thankful expression for that which I don't see. Now, to do that, you have to have an absolute confidence in the one who is acting on our behalf. And that's what I would say to you this morning. Those are the bookends of thankfulness. It starts with the who. But that who, no matter what the experience, gives us the confidence to be thankful for all that is yet to come. All that is yet to come. You know, I remember when we had this sort of moment, Donna and I, where we thought Donna might be pregnant. And I remember this little test that she took, and we got this little stick with two little lines on it. If there was one line, no good. Two lines, you got a baby coming. And I remember that Donna comes and she's got this little stick, and there they are. There are these two lines, and I felt something just within me go, we're having a baby. Like, our whole lives are about to change. And I can't see any difference in Donna. There's nothing that I can tell is happening except I have this little stick that is like this promise of the unknown. So I'm like, we're having a baby. You know what we did? We got a book. We got a book that was called What to Expect When You Are Expecting. And every week we would sit in bed, same day, and we would read what's happening in Donna this week. And it was like, yeah, this baby's getting fingers, this baby's getting toes, this baby's getting eyelashes, this baby's getting fingernails, this baby's now, you know, this size. And, you know, it was just a nothing. And then all of a sudden you're reading and it's like the size of your thumbnail. It's now the size. And every week it'd be like, wow, that's happening in there. And I can't see it, but I'm believing it. And then I remember seeing the little lump begin to show. It's like, well, something's happening. I don't know what. I don't know what this baby's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to sound like. Don't know what it's going to act like. Don't know what the future is. Don't know what its dreams will be. I don't know anything, but that's my baby. And I'll never forget the day I saw that baby move. And I saw this lump of whatever it was roll from one side of Donna's tummy to the other side, and we just stopped like, oh my gosh, what is that? Do you think it was a hand, an elbow, a knee, a toe? I don't know, but something just happened. And I remember I would put my mouth up to Donna's tummy. I'm like, hello. do that again. Like, I'm engaging, believing that there's some evidence of it, but I don't know. And then the day came that our first child was born. And if you've ever experienced it, it is just something to marvel at. And I was so engaged in that. You may have heard me say it before, but Holly was born and I'm so in that moment. I just shout and I'm like, it's a girl. And I'm looking at Donna. And the doctor's like, I'm supposed to say that. And I'm like, I felt like, you know, now I look back, I go, I wish I'd said to him, you know what? That's not your promise. That's my promise. That's my baby. I'm the one. And I'm glad I was the one that was so into it that I get to declare it. Because to me, it wasn't a medical declaration. It was the declaration of me as a dad, that I'd entered into this moment of experience, the fulfillment of something that I had only read about and seen hints of for the last 9 months. And yet here it was. Expectation. I was so full of thankfulness before I ever met my child. You know, you think about a farmer. We were just up in the northeast of the US and it was, you know, harvest season. And there was just, you know, loads and loads of harvest. And people are all enjoying their apple harvest and their pumpkin harvest and all these other harvests. But you know what that harvest began with? With a farmer plowing. With a farmer preparing, with a farmer planting, with a farmer tending and tending and tending and tending, and then the harvest comes. But you plow in expectation, and you plant in expectation, and you tend in expectation that what? That the promise that you first plow for and plant for and tend for is going to be fulfilled. And we're the ones that, you know, so often reap benefits and we're thankful for the benefits. But I want to challenge you to begin to be thankful in expectation of what God will do. God is not finished in this earth yet. I loved what Shane was sharing last week when he was even talking about, you know, God's promise and the promise of, you know, heaven and God's promise of a future. We have, no matter how good you might have it in seasons in life, you have not tasted heaven yet. Man, people say things like, oh, this is this heaven on earth. No idea. Heaven on earth. No. We have not even tasted. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even begun to conceive of the things that God has in store for those who love Him. Not even begun. But we should be in this place where we're like, God, man, I am praising you for that which lies ahead that has not ever caught my eye nor my ear nor even begun to stir me to the greatness of what you have in store. But God, I'm going to praise you and I am going to declare your goodness. Don't wait to get there to be like, oh, maybe it is worth praising him for. Start now. Engage him now. The only way that you can praise in expectation is this. Ready? You got to believe that he is good. We have to believe that everything that is going to come from his hand for us is good, that it will be worked together for good. Now, I tell you this, not everything that comes our way is God's goodness. There are times you'll go through awful experiences, but God will use all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Everything that we go through, God will equip us and enable us to go through it. God will work all those things for good. But Psalm 145 says this, everything that God does is right. This is from the Message version. Listen to this. It's so beautifully worded. The trademark on all his works is love. He does what's best for those who fear him. God sticks by all who love him. And the psalmist then says, my mouth is filled with God's praise. Let everything living bless him, bless his holy name from now unto eternity. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us. We are his. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Listen to those words. The psalmist says, we come before him with praise. We shout for joy because we know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us. We are his. We're his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give him thanks and praise his name. Verse 5 of Psalm 100, for the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. James 1, 16, 17. And this is written in the context of searching out wisdom, where God says, if you lack wisdom, come and ask me. But don't weigh my wisdom up against the wisdom of the world. Because then you're unstable in all your ways, and who thinks that God should respond to you in anything? But this is where James says then, he goes, but don't be deceived. Don't be tossed to and fro. Don't be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Listen, who knows no changing. He never changes. Our confidence is in his character, and our praise is in our expectation as much as it is in our moments. There's two great words. There's seven different Hebrew words that we just translate praise very often in the Bible. But they all have these slight different actions and different connotations to them. And there's two of them, Todah and Tehillah, and they have this sense of God's inhabiting, engaging, or coming into our praise. But there's this idea of it's thanks for that which God is yet to do. Thanks and praise for that which God is yet to do. If you think about a story in the Bible where this could be evidence, there's a story about a king called Jehoshaphat. And if you ever want to search it on the internet or look it up in your Bible, Jehoshaphat. And he's going into a battle, and God says this, I'll tell you what you need to do in this battle. You need to put your singers and musicians out front, and you need to just start declaring praise. And as you declare praise, I'll set ambushes against the enemy and I'll defeat them. But this battle's going to be birthed in praise. It's like, what? How about we win the battle and then we'll have a praise service? How about we see the victory and then we'll sing the victory? And God goes, no, you're going to sing the victory and then you're going to see the victory. You're going to praise in expectation of that which I am going to do. And this is, it's a tough challenge, but this is the idea of these Hebrew words. Psalm 106, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord. He's good, his love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who do justly, who do what's right. Remember me, the psalmist says, when you show favor to your people, or include me in that I might enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I might share in the joy of your nation and join in your inheritance giving praise. God, we've sinned. Even our ancestors did it. We've done it again. We've done wrong. We've acted wickedly. Yet, God, back then, you saved them for your name's sake, that your mighty power would be made known. And he begins to recount this journey of his people, of his ancestors, but there's this great line in there, Psalm 106, verse 12. Says, then they believed God's promises and sang his praise. They believed God's promises and they sang his praise. And this is what I believe the challenge is for us. It's so easy to sort of sit there with our hands in our lap waiting to see. We've got God in the balance. Well, let's wait and see what He does. I know I've asked Him. I know I've petitioned Him. I know I've requested Him. But let's just wait and see what He does. And if it's a positive thing, man, then I'll praise. Then I'll declare His works before the people. But what if it's not what I wanted to see? Then this big battle comes. Is He worthy of my praise? The Bible says praise Him before you even see it. Because that declares that we have a trust and a rest in Him, that we invest ourselves in those things that God's about. Today, you're going to have a choice to engage. I'll let you know right now, you're going to have a choice to engage physically. Physically to choose whether you want to engage God expectantly. Can't tell you what the end results will be. That's why I asked Christoph and Mel that question. Because they came to this point going into the world, going to France, that they just had to go, God, whatever. But we're going, and we're going expecting that You're going to do something in us and through us that will affect this nation. They went. They didn't go because they knew they'd come back with great stories. They went because they knew they were called to go. I remember the lead up to it. I remember like trying to go, and I remember even the plan in Majimba and all these things. And it's like, we're going to do it. And all of a sudden it's like, nah, we don't know what we're doing. But here we are 8 years later, and God's still going to work good. And all of us, when we put our hands to whatever God has in store, know that He is good. We've been talking for the last months, and we're in this time now where we've talked about this unique call to us as participants in Good Life. It's unique. Listen, I hope that you're going to come on Tuesday night. I mean that. There are things we're going to be talking about, deciding on, presenting, and we're going to be giving thanks for that we haven't seen fulfilled yet. But we've talked about these four spheres of influence. I put more of these out on the table. If you have not got this book yet, please take this book, all right? If you don't have it yet, please take it. If you took a copy and you don't know where it is, it got lost, something happened, you dropped it somewhere, you carried it out of here and put it down somewhere, get another one. This is us. This is us. This is the uniqueness of the call of who we are. This is the outworking of it. It's not new. It's just put in a clear way so that we are basically without excuse for not understanding the unique call of Good Life. There are four colors that you'll find in here. The first is this tan color, and it's associated with this center. This center is unique. Okay? Don't take it for granted. It's unique. It's not better than anything else. It's just a unique thing that God planted in the hearts of some people about 27 years ago now. And they had this dream that they would be able to create a space that would impact our community and people for good. And 11 years ago, 13 years ago, the door opened. November 2001, the doors of this place opened. And no one knew what was going to happen, but people engaged in an expectation of what God would do. The problem comes, really, it's a problem when we just sort of settle into that and we put our hands in our laps and we go, well, it's good enough. God's not done yet. God is not done yet. There's a unique call to us as a part of this place. There's a unique footprint in that we'll have. In fact, if you flip over, there's four things that are going to come up real quick. Yeah. Our center, our community, our nation, and our world. That we have a unique call into these. And I tell you, I am expectant in each one of these. If you look at that first one, if you go to the next slide, our center. It's a unique call. Why do we have Danny organizing sports? because it's an opportunity to just engage people in life. People have said things to me, and I'm not going to get going too hard on this one, but people say things to me that are antagonistic. Not necessarily meaning to be, but they just are, because we don't necessarily get the unique call of this. Hear things like, so when are you giving them the hard word? Where in this do they hear the gospel message presented, and where do they get put on the point of decision? Where are they getting confronted with their sin as they come in this place? Let me tell you something very clearly. I believe when Jesus came, he came first with a word that was love and grace and mercy. He says this, come to me, all of you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The scriptures say that God's mercy, his love, covers a multitude of sin, that he has gone ahead of us with the sacrifice of his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice was sufficient for every single sin. And we are called to love, to embrace, to serve, to have compassion, to be kind, and then to always have a reason for that which we believe and share it valiantly, boldly, with courage, with gentleness, with kindness. God has given us a unique call. We invest ourselves day after day in swim lessons, in all sorts of stuff. But it doesn't end here. The next color is this green one, and that's our community. And God has given us a call in our community. Listen, you students sitting over to my right here, you have a call in this community. You have a call in the school that you are in. You have a call that's born out of a follower's expectation in Jesus to have an influence in your school. Do you believe me? You who are parents in here, you have a call in our community to raise your children. You who are workers in our community, it's not just about a wage. It's about being a person of influence where you are, right where you are. I had a privilege of going to a breakfast the other morning, a mayoral breakfast for Steve Irwin Day. A friend of mine invited me to come and participate in his world. And his world is influential amongst influential people. And I'm meeting some of the, you know, leaders on our coast. But the number of them that said to me, from Good Life, I've heard of Good Life. Man, I want to come down to Good Life. I want to see what it is that I'm hearing about. God's called us in whatever we're doing to affect it, whether it's business, whether it's family, whether it's where you study, whether it's where you play, wherever you are, God has given you a responsibility to bear his name. The fruits of that will be his. The third color that we have there is orange. It's our nation. You're called to have a voice in our nation. We've talked about this. It could be politics. It could be business. It could be any number of things, and they're all listed in here. It could be performing arts. It could be all sorts of different ways. But some of the things God's done in this nation that were born out of expectancy. There was just a little business that began selling phones from the back of a car yard that went to be a nationally impacting business. That born out of that is the Australian Christian Channel that is all over the airwaves. It just began with this sense of God, you can, and I'm going to praise you in expectation of that which you're going to do. There are others that are doing things that are affecting our nation. And then our world. And people have gone out from here all over this world, doing all sorts of things. And when they go, they never know what it is that they're going to see, what it is that they're going to see the fruits of. And very often, we don't even see the fulfillment of that. This morning, I am going to invite you in just a moment to act on this. On these tables up front, we said the Thanksgiving Sunday was coming, and it's an annual thing we do. There's these little tags. There's four colors that represent this center, this community, this nation, and this world. What are you called to? What are you called to? One thing I said months ago, and I know it upset people, and I hope it upsets more people, because when you're upset, you're thinking. I'll say it one last time for this week. Jesus did not go to the cross for you to sit in a 1.5-hour meeting on a Sunday. Jesus did not go to the cross and give his life for us to sit in a meeting. He gave his life that we would be transformed, that we would know him, and in turn we would transform the world that we live in. And as a part of this community, we are called. If it's here in Good Life, whether you play here, attend here, serve here, volunteer here, employed here, I don't care. We're called to love people. We're called to be Jesus to people. And I'll tell you what, he hasn't finished yet. We're still dreaming about the next development of this place. Tuesday night, come to the AGM, because I'm going to share what I believe God's called us to. We've been testing areas, trying to see what it is, see what's good to us. And we believe that we've come up with what's right. We're going to present that. You might think that sounds strange. Pause. There's a beautiful story in Acts where Paul goes to Macedonia. But what happens before Paul ever gets the vision of hearing a man call him to Macedonia? He says, man, we're sitting there. We're trying to go up into Bithynia. We're trying to go to this other place. We're trying stuff. And then all of a sudden we realize it's not that, it's this. And you might not understand that, but that's scriptural too. We're doing what we believe is right to do. But God's not finished. You're called to be a part of it? God's not finished in our community. Not even close. I want to see waves of his grace wash over the shoreline of this coast. I want to see his mercy poured out. I want to see lives changed. I want to see healing in people. God's not finished yet. You think God's finished in our nation? Not even close. Not even close. Do we praise him in expectation of what he's going to do? I want to encourage you. I'm going to invite four people to come if they would. Andrew and Greta Stanley, who went out from here about 10 years ago. They have two guests with them, Oliver and Yasmin. This is very fitting that they're here with us this weekend. It wasn't planned for this weekend. In fact, this was a total surprise to Andrew. He had no idea. So often we don't see the results of the seeds, the fruits of the things that are planted. We just don't. But we continue to pour ourselves in expectation. I've spoken to you from Galatians 6, 9 and 10 countless times. Do not become weary in doing good, for in due season we'll reap a reward. But as much as you have opportunity, do good to all. Almost 10 years, just over 10 years ago, Andrew and Greta were really challenged in their spirit, in their latter years of life, that they were to basically sign over their future to God. And they did that. They did that on paper, wrote their names down, signed this blank check of their lives to God. Said, we'll do whatever with whatever years we have left. And they were sent out of Good Life to the Balkan region. Croatia, Macedonia, Serbia, that whole Balkan area. And it has always been a place where the nations are parted. It's a place of war. It's a history of bloodshed. It goes back generations and generations, deep-seated bitterness, and it's something that was on Andrew's heart, and Andrew just had this deep desire to see reconciliation. They went. About 2 years ago, as we stood here and we prayed for Andrew and Greta, who were about to go for a conference that they've birthed over there, I gave Andrew one of the hardest words I've ever had to deliver. But I felt it was God speaking, and so I said it to him. I said, Andrew, this is going to be your last trip. You won't go again. And God's calling you in this trip to hand the authority, that baton, over. That it's His work, that He will continue it, He will fulfill it, but it's not yours. And we had no idea that Andrew almost died. He was going to almost die on that trip. We didn't even know if Andrew was going to make it back when we began hearing reports. In fact, I wondered if the word I'd given him was like going to be, you know, his eulogy almost. And Andrew didn't want to hear it, but it's what God was doing. This week, two men arrived on Andrew's doorstep. They came here to give honor where honor was due. And I want you to hear from these two men just for a moment. Because I tell you, God is not finished. When I was talking with Yasmin this week, he said something profound and I've tucked it away in my heart. He said, when we see a seed, an apple seed, it doesn't just contain a tree. It contains the whole tree and its fruit and its seeds and its orchard and all of those things. It's just a seed, but it contains the entire inheritance beyond that seed. And these guys came to just give honor. And I want to introduce you to Oliver and to Yasmin, and if you guys would share just as you did before.
Thank you. First of all, I want to give thanks to God for this opportunity to be with you here, to worship Him together, and to meet some of you. And we are really thankful to God to see our family in Christ here in Australia. What is a big surprise for us. So the main purpose of our coming is finished, because the reason why we came was to give honor and respect and gratitude to Andrew and to Greta. God spoke to our hearts that we need to come, and He needs to make miracles so that we can come, and He did it. We came in behalf of Body of Christ and Balkans, on behalf of brothers, because in Balkans life, last 5 years we have a Balkans main gathering named My Brother's Keeper, and behalf of two of us, and we bring a flag, because we have a My Brother's Keeper flag, and we bring one special flag for Andrew. So we surprised him. He didn't know that we are coming. He was a almost the only Christian in this area who didn't know that we are coming. And it was planned. And you need to see his face when he realized who we are. And then we asked him to just sit down and be passive. And then we took a flag as a symbol to give him honor as a man of God, and one of the great God's officer, who by command of a high commander is commanded to go from that region to come here, because God had some other plans for him. And we gave him honor, respect, and thanks, and we really felt something what we never felt before. It was like we give thanks to Jesus Christ personally. And then we wash his feet and speak blessings in his life. And then we were on our knees and put our heads on his knees. And he blessed us, and through us he blessed the Body of Christ in the Balkans. And then we asked Greta to sit beside Andrew, and we washed her feet and speak blessing in her life. And so we realized one very important thing, that if we want to be not just saved, if we want to be respected by God, that we must live under divine principle of honor and respect. And for the end of my speech, I just want to remind us of several important truths from Bible. One is from Romans 13:7, which says, "Therefore give to all their due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due." And also in Leviticus 19:32, "You shall rise up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man, and fear your God, for I am the Lord." Amen. God bless you.
Also, the Lord says that the fruits that we will bear will glorify our God. Amen. And we are all longing to see the fruits. So one of the purposes of our coming was also to give a good report from the land of the fruits that are coming and will continue to come from the ministry that Greta and Andrew did in our region. And just to understand better, because I know that when you are looking from the perspective from Australia, maybe you are not so familiar what is happening in Balkans. It was really like a portal of war. First World War started 100 years ago, right in the middle of Balkans. Second World War and last war in Europe happened there. I mean, war with knives, guns, killing, slaughter, raping of women and things like that. Towns in fire, and really the land was devastated when they came. That was 10 years ago. They were in their late 20s. And they started the ministry. And Andrew just shared his heart with us, and he said, I came because I would like to build bridges between nations after the war, between the churches and to the nations. And he started to moving around. He would sit in his car and drive all around and meeting with people and drinking coffee with them, having lunches, contacting all kind of leaders from all kind of denominations and nations. And in that time, there was a really invisible barrier on the national border between the church also. In fact, we would say, yes, we have brothers and sisters in Serbia, we love them, they are part of God's family. But if you would invite a preacher from Serbia to come to preach in Zagreb, that would be offense for the people, and it would be a challenge. And now, 10 years later, many, many bridges were built. And it's really, praise the Lord. And it's not only visiting each other, it's really, we have a transnational leadership. We are friends, we are working together, we are organizing conference for the region. We had regional repentance for things that happened in our nations. And we are more than that, we are friends, we are visiting each other and having vacations together in our homes. And so Lord made strong bonds through what Andrew was doing these 10 years in Balkans. And I want to encourage also you who were supporting this work that it is bearing much fruit and it will continue. And another thing that I would like to share is about the fruit of Greta's work, because it was the prophetic word only for Andrew. So Greta continues to come in to Balkans. So Andrew, we call grandpa, but we are not allowed to say grandma to Greta. So she's still coming, and she started to work among women in the region. And in our culture, it was very conservative and traditional, and women were despised. Even in the church, we would not say that, but you can see the influence of the culture on it. And she started small conferences among women, sharing the messages about how precious women are in the kingdom of God, and what happened 10 years later is really, God really helped a lot to women in the region for their ministry. God really restored the dignity of women in kingdom of God. And not only that, but we really received help for our marriages, for our families. Our wives are more satisfied women now. And I don't want to say that Greta did this, but she was very, very important part, and she had a really important role, and she still has, in what was God doing in our region in the last 10 years. Praise the Lord.
Don't go anywhere just yet. Listen, 10 years ago, these guys put their names just basically to a blank check of their lives. So often we don't hear those stories, the things that have happened. Listen, nations have been transformed in the middle of the Balkans because two people, Andrew and Greta, said, "We believe we are called to a work of reconciliation amongst the churches that will affect the borders of those nations." It seemed bigger than something that was possible. And yet here we have two men that have come back to honor these guys, to kneel at their feet, to present them a part of their inheritance, just the honor of that. But the work is not done yet. We don't look at this and go, "Wow, thank you, God, you're good for that which is past." We say, "God, we thank you for that which still lies ahead, that which you're still going to do." In fact, we didn't do this first service. I'm going to ask that we stand together and extend our hands to these guys. Almighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth, the God who calls forth nations, who calls forth generation after generation, you whose word says that will marvel, who is saying, "Who has done this?" But the God who calls forth generation after generation, God Almighty, in this generation of newness, of Oliver, of Yasmin, as the inheritors of God, your call to Andrew and Greta, I pray a new thing. God, a new thing, a new day. God, new words upon their lips. I thank you that you called them out of darkness. That God, it was you all the way along their lives who was calling them to yourself. And I pray now that God from the heavens, you would release in these two men a new spiritual authority. God, that they would go as men who fear you. God, I thank you for the honor that they have given. But I pray as Isaac and Jacob, the sons of Abraham, God, that their children would be more numerous than the stars in the heavens, the sand on the seashore, that this generation would be a generation of your inheritance. And God, we speak it and we ask it with expectation. And God, I give you praise and give you glory for those you already know, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of spiritual inheritance in those nations. Lord, I pray in that same sense as what you said to Ezekiel, that from the temple that began a trickle, but it ends in a flood. God, I pray that that trickle that went with Andrew and with Greta, that has already brought hope and reconciliation and restored dignity, Father, we pray that it would go much further than the walls of the church. I pray that you would give these men and their wives authority in the nations. God, I pray that the leaders of the nations would stand and marvel at the things that their God has done and continues to do. God, I pray that right now for an implanting of a seed of the future deep within their hearts and in their spirit, that God, you will bring to fruition. God, that same seed, that it's not just about that little seed, it is about everything that that seed contains. God, it's yours. and do as you see fit. We thank you that we get to pray this together. Lord, having seen your word to Andrew that it was time, that it had to be passed on, that he would remain on the mountaintop as Moses did and watch him enter the land, that he'd not walk in that inheritance. God, this is still your inheritance. And we bless them to you with all thanksgiving, with all expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My pleasure. And I'm going to wrap up real quick. Sometimes you just got to respond. You just got to do it. I say this, and I bring it to a close. I've got about one minute video I want you to see. It's profoundly theological. But hold on for it. There's this story in the book of Acts. I mentioned in the last service, Acts chapter 27 and 28, where Paul is on his way to Rome. God has said, you've got to go to Rome. You've got to stand in front of Caesar. But what happens is they go into this terrible storm. You read about it in Acts 27, and it said this, much time had already been lost. There'd been this crazy storm that had come. They harbored, but still went out from Crete. And you read this in verse 21, or verse 18 it starts, we took such a violent battering from the storm. We began to throw cargo overboard. It looked like it was all going down. And after a long time without food, Paul stands up, verse 21, and he says this to all the sailors on the boat, men, you should have listened to me. Never should have gone out from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves and this damage and this loss. Verse 22, but now I urge you, keep up your courage. Not one of you will be lost. The ship's going to be destroyed. But last night, an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You are going to stand before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. I've got faith in God and it's going to happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we're about to run aground on some island. It's an amazing story, and I encourage you to read it, because then it goes on just into the next chapter that they get wrecked on this island. Then they try to light a fire to get warm, and then Paul gets bitten by a snake. And the whole thing seems like it's this nightmare. But Paul knows that God's told him, you're going to stand before Caesar. And even though you might not like the way it's working out, and some other people made some decisions to sail into a storm that you didn't want to sail into, I'm still going to get you to Rome. What do you have to keep doing? Keep going. I can't promise you that every day of good life's going to be a dream, that it's always going to run just perfect, that there's never going to be mistakes made, that there's never going to be tough seasons. But what's our call? Just keep going. Here's my very theological, just amazing clip of information that I want you to go home with. And this, if this is the one thing you go home with this. There's my theological truth for you today. What do? You just keep swimming. Because God has promised, and he who promised is faithful. He has declared himself, and he has things that we've not even begun to imagine or take a hold of. This is for all of us, but God has things in store that you've not even begun to take a hold of yet. You just got to keep going. Don't lose courage. Don't lose sight. Don't quit swimming. Don't quit working. Don't quit loving. Don't quit compassion. Don't quit mercy. Don't quit giving. Don't quit. Just keep swimming. As Nemo's dad goes, he goes, oh, great, now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming. Listen, this is the call to us, but it's born in expectation. And I'm going to close. I'm going to ask Craig if you would come. I know I spoke a lot, but listen, this is something we got to get. You need this. Because if you're a part of Good Life, there's a call to participation. Participation in expectation. I don't mind what age you are, whether you are elementary school or whether you are your high school. You have an impact to make for the kingdom of God. You have an impact to make for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to invite you. These represent these four spheres that God's given us. We have a unique call this center. We have a unique call in our community, in our nation, and in this world. But what I'm going to ask you is, where are you called? God did not call you to just attend a gathering. He's going to make His declaration of Himself in you and through you. There is a part that we play somewhere, somehow. If you don't know today, don't just come and pick up a little flag because you just feel like you have to, because that's what Tim said. If you don't know, ask God. If you've not thought about it, read through this book. Ask Him. He might tell you you're not supposed to be at Good Life. That's all right too. Find out where you're supposed to be. Invest yourself in His kingdom work. I'm not talking about the kingdom work of Good Life. We are a very small part of what God is going to do in this nation and in this world. But I tell you what, we're going to be true to what He's called us to do. I'm unashamedly going to continue to do what God has called us to do. If you want to be a part of it, come, participate. Every one of those little pieces of cloth is raggedy. Took a lot of time to cut them out and I couldn't get the lines straight. But I love that. You know what? Because the way it's going to look for every one of us is different. And I want you to hold on to it, and I hope it gets more and more raggedy along the way. But I hope that it'll be a reminder to you that God's called you to give of yourself. This Thanksgiving Day service is when we bring an offering financially too, that is to invest in the future. I don't know what it will be used for. I don't. I can't tell you what every cent will be used for in advance, but I'll tell you it'll be used for the kingdom of God. And I promise you integrity. You got to choose what you want to do. Father, would you come? May our lives be a blank check to you. That you know the fruits of the seed that you've planted within us. You know the orchards that will be born from that one seed. God, birth it afresh in our children, in our young people, in our young adults, in our young marrieds, in our older marrieds. God, wherever they would be, plant that. That God, you would receive in time your due harvest. And we thank you in expectation for all that lies ahead. God, have your way in us today, through us today. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this song, if you want to come and grab one of those little pieces of cloth, do it. The tan, the unique call of this center. The green, the unique call in this community. The orange, the unique statement in our nation. The blue, our footprint in this world. But come and grab something and hold fast to it. Do not let go. Let's praise God in expectation.